every morning, I made it a point to watch one Gary Vaynerchuk video. So I go on YouTube. It's first thing I do. I grab coffee, I hit my ice cold shower, and then I go watch a Gary V video. And I just started listening to him day in and day out, teaching the principles of life. Don't fear fear. Don't give a crap what other people say. All that stuff I used to deal with. And it's led me to where I am today. We're talking on what, September 8th. I am absolutely an entrepreneur. Here's why. Number one, I give two you-know-what about failing. You're going to fail every day when you're an entrepreneur, and you just have to step into it and keep moving. Number two, I could care less what other people have to say about my content, what I put out there. I just know I'm posting and I'm coaching from the heart. And number three, I look at entrepreneurism as a game. You and I are both sports guys. You could get your ass kicked today running your business, but guess what? You get to get up and tomorrow and play it all over again.
It's true.
And that's what I love about this is I could have the worst day, and you know, and I know we have them, but you get to get back up the next day. And guess what? If this answers your last question, I don't have to report to anybody. I'm not anybody on anybody's payroll. I get to get up and recreate my future every single day. That, looking back, I could never give up again.
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin', and boy, am I fired up. I'm super pumped to have the rock star of all rock stars, my good friend, Andy Neary, business coach extraordinaire. Welcome, Andy. What's up, brother?
What is up, Mr. Silverman? I'm excited for this conversation.
Hey, man, I'm super pumped to have you here. It's been a long time coming, my friend. I've been following your podcast. We're going to get into that too, I'm sure, because I want everybody to start listening to that if they're not already. Who am I kidding? They're probably already listening. We know that. You know that. I know that. They know that. Anyway, listen, for those of you that don't know Andy is the founder of the Complete Game Coaching Program, and we're going to get into that as well. I met Andy years ago back in I don't know. I guess it was 2017 when you were
2016.
2016, sorry. Back when you were solely a health insurance advisor, a benefits counselor per se. And boy, have you exploded and grown since then. And for those of you that also don't know Andy is a former professional athlete, a former baseball player in the Milwaukee Brewers organization. And Andy, if you don't mind, I wanted to start there because, you know, a lot of folks, they know you, they know your what you're all about, particularly folks that that follow us both mutually. But a lot of people don't know about your minor league days in pro ball and how that came to be. Can you walk us through that? Maybe the high school, college years and how you ended up getting drafted into pro ball?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to share that. It's funny watching the Brewers this year and seeing where they are at as an organization reminds me of 20 years ago when I was playing in the organization, because I think right now they have one of the worst ranked minor league systems in baseball right now. And when I was
worse
there,
than the O's.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And when I was there, we were the worst minor league system in baseball. So a lot of memories. No, my story is interesting. Like I tell people, Eric, I didn't have a tragic childhood. I didn't come from hard to, I was like the most average kid with the average life you've ever had. In fact, my childhood was easy. Honestly, my parents were great. They were both teachers. I can't complain, but that definition of average, that word average definitely impacted my pro baseball career because my position in baseball is pitcher. But in high school, I was 5'9", 145 pounds. In college, I got up to about 170, you know, hitting the weight room. But at the end of the day, I just wasn't your prototypical pitcher when it came to size and speed. But what happened was I had a really good final 2 years at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, busted my ass off the field to have success on it. And a lot of people think I was drafted. I actually wasn't drafted. Here's the real story. So senior season comes to an end, had a great senior season. and draft, major league draft goes by. It's, I think it, at the time it was 3 days long and I didn't get drafted. And I remember watching the names go. And what really irritates you when you're a senior and you know you're done with college baseball is when you get to the late rounds and you see teams starting to draft guys that don't even play baseball. I can remember the Dodgers, for example, drafting Brooks Bollinger, the freaking quarterback of Wisconsin Badgers. And I was just getting pissed off. So draft goes by, I'm not drafted. So I decided, you know, I think my life's moving on, right? The real world is now upon me. So I took an internship at a local financial consulting firm in Milwaukee. And I remember I go there first day on the job and literally my role was data entry. So all day I'm just plugging along, plugging crap into the computer. I go home and I can specifically remember driving home going, I cannot do this all summer. Like, this is going to be awful. So I get home, get back to my apartment, and there's a message on my phone. Yes, this is when we still had phones at home with voice messages. And it was my pitching coach, the guy you know very well, the former Todd Froworth, pitcher with the Baltimore Orioles. He's no longer with us, unfortunately. Submariner. I believe he's the first relief pitcher actually ever to sign $1 million per year contract.
Wow.
He was my pitching coach in college. So I had a voicemail from Todd. He said, give me a call right away. So I give Todd a call and he's like, hey, the Brewers want to sign you to a free agent contract. Call Harvey Keen Jr., the scout, the local scout. They want to sign you. Gave Harvey a call. The rest is history. That was a Tuesday, I believe, or Monday or Tuesday. By Friday, here I was in Helena, Montana, a member of the Helena Brewers, pitching in the Helena Brewers, Milwaukee Brewers organization.
Wow. See, and I've known you all these years. I've never heard that whole story. That's incredible. I knew the Todd Froworth part, but I didn't hear, I know all the rest. That's insane. So, so talk about the minor league life and maybe even, I'd love to hear your input on what happened this year, man. We're in 2020. And if you were just drafted as a minor leaguer 2020, you didn't have a season, brother.
I'll tell you what, Eric, I'll start by saying this. If by chance there's a minor leaguer, former minor leaguer listening to this podcast, my heart goes out to you, because I think one of the things that actually angered me a little bit with this season, obviously you had the whole COVID pandemic, the cancellation or the postponement of the season. But if you recall, when it was time to kind of get back to work, then it became a battle of wages. And the major leaguers were upset because maybe they were going to be making $8 million instead of $12 million. And all the while they were bickering about what they were getting paid, you had up to, was it 1,000 minor leaguers getting cut because of the pandemic, because there wasn't going to be a minor league season. These are guys who probably will never have a chance to play professional baseball again. And so again, for any minor leaguer who went through that, my heart goes out to you. Cause again, watch, just remembering my experience there, to literally have it taken away from you because of a pandemic is something I have so much empathy for. But it's interesting, Eric, when you get into minor league baseball, it's the same thing with college baseball. People ask me all the time, why were you successful in college? What gave you that chance to play professional baseball? And I think it comes down to this. It's time management. It's habits. Because I see so many very talented kids get recruited into college baseball or whatever sport they're playing, right? And what people don't realize is when you are a high school athlete, your entire day is designed for you. Right? You've got class from, I don't know, 7:45 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. Then you leave immediately to practice or a game. It's all regimented for you. But when you get to college, it's not, right? You pick your classes. I remember I had some days I had one class. I could do a lot of screwing off if I wanted to. And that's where so many of the good athletes fail. I mean, I look at UW-Milwaukee where I played. I wasn't the best talented athlete on the team by far, but there were a lot of kids more talented than me that couldn't understand what it meant to instill those daily habits and manage their time effectively. And those are the guys who didn't make it. Same things in minor league baseball. You have to be really good with your daily habits, mindset, and time management if you want to continue advancing. It wasn't the guys necessarily that were the most talented in minor league baseball that made it all the way to the big leagues. It's the guys that put in the work, the consistent daily habits, the time management, and knew up here in their head, in their mind, that they were good enough to get there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And look, anybody, you don't have to be a professional athlete to appreciate the schedule change, right? High school, middle school, high school, you all have the schedule. But I'm not a professional athlete. You kidding me? And I went to college and it's sticker shock. You have one class a day. Sometimes you have no class on a day, potentially. You have class in the morning and nothing for the rest of the day. What do you do with yourself? So you're right. And that's where bad habits start. That's where dangerous things start. True. And, you know, to be honest, that's what makes me nervous. I have young kids, but eventually they'll go to college. And that's the type of thing that that I want to teach them is proper time management, what to be doing during the day. Let me ask you a question relating to mindset, because you're one that talks about mindset all the time. So talk about what you've shared with me before and even others about why you believe you didn't go as far as you may have otherwise in professional baseball and how you believe it could have been a mindset thing.
Absolutely. I go back to the word I mentioned earlier, my average. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got to pro ball, all the things I had done to give myself a chance to get there, the daily habits, the time management, the mindset when I was on the pitcher's mound, right? All kind of slipped away from me. And when I got to pro baseball, here I was on the same field with guys who came from much bigger Division I college programs, right? LSU, Texas, Wichita State, you name it. There were high school kids that signed for seven figures, you know, all these guys that had these big contracts. And instead of thinking I belonged, I sat there and I compared myself to them and said, man, there were days I was like, what am I doing here? Like, what right do I have to be here? And, you know, it definitely impacted my performance. I actually, you know, I don't share this a whole lot, but my first half year at Helena, I actually had a very successful year. I remember my ERA was well below two. So for anybody who's a baseball fan, you understand what that means. Sure. You know, the old statistic in minor league baseball back then is as a pitcher, especially a relief pitcher, you want to average one strikeout per inning to really get on the radar. I was at one strikeout per inning, which wasn't my repertoire in college. And man, what happened is as the years slowly progressed and so forth, that I let the feeling of being average take over. And I would say it definitely impacted my performance. And that's why my professional baseball career was so short. It just, I felt and saw myself as average. And I go back to what I said earlier, the guys who made it all the way up, yes, skill and talent are a big part of it. But I would tell you equally important is what they thought up here, up in the mind.
So it sounds like you had a bit of what I've heard you talk about before too, imposter syndrome, perhaps.
Yes. Yes, you know? Absolutely. I would say that's absolutely the truth. And I see people dealing it with today, Eric, in the business world, right? We know a bunch of advisors in the industry. I know a bunch of coaches, a bunch of business professionals who are out there putting themselves out there. Many struggle with that. Like, will people realize maybe I'm not that good? You know, that those things that go through your head, the imposter syndrome, as you call it, I think it impacts so many more people than we realize.
Yeah, no, look, I don't disagree. Look, on a different note, the baseball guy in me has to ask, I don't know that I've ever asked you, would you top out at speed wise? Were you a nasty stuff guy, change up curve? Were you a fastball guy? What were you?
My go-to was the change up. My favorite pitch was, I love setting people up. I didn't like getting to a full count, right? Three balls, two strikes. That's never where you want to be as a pitcher. But when I was there, I kind of got a little shit-eating grin on my face because I knew what was coming. I was going to throw a changeup. And because typically no batter is looking for a 3-2 changeup. But I would say I topped out, Eric, probably at 90, 91 mm-hmm. a couple times. But I really settled in at 87, 88.
Mm-hmm. There are professional pitchers in the majors that are in that zone, that are high 80s and very low 90s, and they make a career. But you're right. Most of them, it's not the fastball. It's the setup. It's the changeup.
Well, look at a guy like Greg Maddux, right? I mean, when he was in his prime, here's what people don't realize about Maddux. When he was with the Chicago Cubs, he actually threw pretty hard. I think he was a 93, 94 mile an hour pitcher. When he got to Atlanta, he became that guy who was hitting, you know, averaging 85, 86, 87, but his ball never was straight. He could throw 85, 86 because that ball moved from one side of the plate to the other by the time it hit the catcher's mitt. And there was not a batter in Major League Baseball that could figure that out.
And he could paint the corners, brother. My goodness.
Movement plus accuracy equals a deadly successful pitcher.
Heck yeah. So talk to me about 2020. What's Andy Neary got going on And how are you making a living these days?
Yeah, man. You know, when this COVID thing hit with the coaching, it's been great because I was virtual anyway. So just really wasn't overly impacted by having to work from home. But, you know, the coaching, here was what was so interesting, Eric, is when the lockdown hit and you had everybody screaming, recession's coming, get rid of unnecessary expenses. Right away you go, kind of where does coaching sit on that spectrum, right? But what I've come to realize now is coaching today is more important than it's ever been. Because what people are terribly lacking right now isn't skill, it's mindset, it's habits, time management, accountability, discipline. That is what they are missing. I talk to business professionals every day who admit they're getting away from their daily habits, who admit they're not managing their time effectively. And it's not easy, right? You're trying to be a husband, a father, a mother, a wife, a homeschool teacher. I mean, it's impossible these days. So the coaching to me has been fun lately because I see so many people struggling right now. They just need that accountability to keep them moving forward.
So the when it comes to your coaching program, talk about what you may have done differently now or had to change and adapt to that you may not have otherwise done had we been in a quote-unquote old normal world.
That is an awesome, awesome question because I had an awesome live three-day retreat set up here in Fort Collins for June, which got obviously postponed. Then I moved it to September thinking, okay, maybe we'll come out of this by September. And then when it became clear, what I decided to do was run a virtual mastermind with the one live component with the retreat here. And then I realized probably by early July that it just wasn't going to happen. So I had to move the Complete Game Mastermind to full virtual. And we replaced the retreat with a one-day mindset summit where I'm bringing a whole lineup of speakers in to talk all things mindset. So, you know, you've probably had to deal with it. So many others. This has been a year of pivot and adapting, right? Like if you just have to throw stuff out there and not have any expectations because you may have to pivot, cancel, postpone, and you just got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. Listen, how would you respond to these two questions? I like to ask these questions. One, we all know being an entrepreneur is not easy. It's very hard. And you've pivoted from being a more in the employee world to now a full-blown entrepreneur for the last many months, if not years at this point in your coaching program. So here's the two questions. One, was it easy for you? And two, would you do it again?
People are going to laugh when they hear this, Eric. This is a kind of a deja vu moment for me because I just re-enrolled in my own mastermind called Fast Foundations. It's a mastermind that I joined about a year and a half ago. It was March of 2019. And I remember calling Chris Harder. He's the founder of the mastermind. And it was a mastermind built for startup entrepreneurs. And at the time, I remember he said, you have to have a minimum annual revenue of at least $50,000. To be in this. And at this point, I hadn't even started anything. I was a W-2 employee and I called Chris and I'm like, hey man, saw this, would really love to be a part of it. I have no idea if I'm a fit because I know what I want to do, but my business does not exist yet. And he gave it some thought and he's like, man, just come on in. And so joined it, was in it for over a year. And what I realized, Eric, with entrepreneur, I actually entered that mastermind not knowing if I was an entrepreneur. I had no idea if I had what it took. But here's where it got interesting. As I participated in that mastermind, I started a daily habit. People are going to laugh when I say this. Every morning, I made it a point to watch one Gary Vaynerchuk video. So I go on YouTube. It's first thing I do. I grab coffee. I hit my ice cold shower. And then I go watch a Gary V video. And I just started listening to him day in and day out, teaching the principles of life. Don't fear fear. Don't give a crap what other people say. All that stuff I used to deal with. And it's led me to where I am today. We're talking on what, September 8th. I am absolutely an entrepreneur. Here's why. Number one, I give two you know what about failing. You're going to fail every day when you're an entrepreneur and you just have to step into it and keep moving. Number two, I could care less what other people have to say about my content, what I put out there. I just know I'm posting and I'm coaching from the heart. And number three, I look at entrepreneurism as a game. You and I are both sports guys. You could get your ass kicked today running your business, but guess what? You get to get up and tomorrow and play it all over again.
It's true.
And that's what I love about this is I could have the worst day, and you know and I know, we have them, but you get to get back up the next day, and guess what? If this answers your last question, I don't have to report to anybody. I'm not anybody on anybody's payroll. I get to get up and recreate my future every single day. That, looking back, I could never give up again.
There you go. So I take that as you would definitely do it again. I love
it. Oh, yeah. I could actually, I don't know how I would go back to the other way anymore.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, let me finish up with this, because you have so many great stories. But I'm going to push this as a baseball podcast. Hopefully, a lot of baseball fans listen yes. in. You got to tell us your, because I think it's fantastic. Tell me your Grandy story, Curtis Grandison story. tell everybody.
The baseball diehards are going to love this. So, I like to think that I contributed to Curtis Granderson's beginnings of his amazing career that moved on into Major League Baseball. So when I was
for those of you that don't know, Curtis was in the pros. He just retired like a year or so ago. He was in the pros for like 20 years.
And he actually had a really successful career.
He
came up with the Tigers, I think played in a World Series or two with them, played in a World Series with the Yankees. He was believe it or not, I think he was part of the Brewers playoff run a few years back. So anyways, here I was a senior at UWM. And I had a perfect game going. So it was in college, you play a 4-game series against teams in your conference, right? So it's a 9-inning game on Friday, 2 7s, doubleheader, 2 7-inning games on Saturday, then another 9 on Sunday. That weekend, I just so happened to be pitching the front end of the 7-inning doubleheader. So I had a perfect game going into the 6th inning of a 7-inning game. And up comes this little left-handed freshman. And when you look at the scouting report, right, I knew who their best batters were. I knew what guys I had to kind of stay away from or at least attack a different way. This guy, not a chance. He literally was a left-handed hitter with goggles. And I remember I threw an inside fastball. And for those who love the game, you know what I mean when I say it was an aluminum bat hit. I jammed him, but with an aluminum bat, he got enough of it that it blooped over the third baseman and the perfect game and no hitter were over. But yeah, that freshman was Curtis Granderson. And it's interesting. Now here's a perfect example, Eric. There's actually a lesson here. I think it was like the first 2 years of Curtis's career at Illinois Chicago, which is the college he went to. He was average. But I think once he got clear up here mindset, this happens in sports, especially in baseball so much, something just clicks. They say all of a sudden you get it. And he went on his junior year. I think he hit almost 500 in college baseball, got drafted in the 2nd round by the Detroit Tigers, and the rest is history.
Wow. That's crazy. So Grandy owes you big time for you throwing that
if
in.
If you brought up my name, I highly doubt he remembers it.
Dude, I'd love for you to meet him one day and tell him that story.
I was just talking to somebody about him and I forgot who it was, but it was a diehard Yankee fan. And he was telling me when he was a younger kid and Curtis was playing, he sent Curtis like some videotape of him hitting as a high school kid. And Curtis actually replied to it with some suggestions. Like he's just a good guy.
Dude, you got to get Curtis on your podcast. And speaking of podcasts, plug your podcast real quick.
Yes. So Bullpen Sessions, it's called Bullpen Sessions. I do 2 episodes a week. On Tuesdays, I interview what I would call abundant thinkers. That's the only requirement to be on my podcast is you have to think abundantly. We talk all things mindset. And then on Fridays, I do Friday Bullpen Sessions, which is just me riffing about topics, lessons I learned in baseball that can be applied to business and life. So 2 episodes a week, would love to have people join. Also, Eric, if I'm willing to share this, I've got a text community, a coaching community of where I hand out a ton of free coaching via text. So if anybody wanted to join that, all they got to do is text the word mindset to 414-622-1462.
Do that one more time.
That is text the word mindset to 414-622-1462.
Dude, I get them every day. I just got one this morning. You sent one out this morning. I love it. Andy, come on, man. We can't forget your favorite podcast. Has to do with the adult, not the adult, the, well, could be an adult beverage of your choice. It's usually hot. Come on, man. You got to plug that one.
Highly caffeinated conversations. Yes, Amy and I. So funny story here. Amy Clout's my girlfriend, and she's a dental hygienist. So when the lockdown hit, she couldn't work. They had to close the dental office, right? And so what we made it a point to do since she was home every day was every lunchtime, we'd go grab coffee from Harbinger Coffee, which is just down the street. And after about the third visit there, I said, you know what? We should just turn on the phone and start teaching, start talking about life principles. So we did, and we literally did that for 60 days straight, Monday through Friday. And then she had to go back to work.
Not ripping streak.
Yeah. And then she had, hey, not as good as your exercise streak, which most people don't know about. But she had to go back to work. So it was hard to do videos every day. And we said, you know what? Let's turn it into a podcast. So yeah, we have the Highly Caffeinated Conversations podcast out there with Amy and I. So if anybody wants to subscribe to that, that would be awesome.
That is a fun show. I listen to every episode. I really enjoy it.
And we're bringing the videos back.
Definitely. I can't wait. All right, guys. Well, Andy, what's your website?
It is andyneary.com. And just, simply go there. Let's hook up. If you got any questions, you know where to find me. I'm always happy to help, man. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, listen, for everybody here behind the scenes at the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast, we appreciate it. I'm Eric Silverman. That's my good friend, Andy Neary, business coach, founder of the Complete Game Coaching Program. Check him out, andyneary.com. He's got, 50 different podcasts he just talked about. So anywhere you consume podcasts, as well as YouTube, search Andy Neary. And Andy, I appreciate it, man.
That's, you bet, Eric. Love having you. Thank you for having me on, man.
You got it, man. And guys, as I always say, don't just have a great day. Make it a great day. We know we will.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, Rockstars, keep rocking.